You cannot travel very far on central Illinois highways without seeing the signs spread out one after another at a distance of 100 yards or so. Always on the edge of a cornfield, they tell a story, usually in rhyme, of guns, personal protection, the Second Amendment, and the non-law-abiding nature of criminals. It is not the sort of poetry one would find in, say, an MFA graduate's chapbook, but as roadside doggerel goes, it's not bad, and it does pass the time on the lonely miles between here and, well, anywhere else. So it is with mixed emotions that I note their passing. Thanks to the Seventh Circuit, there is no longer any raison for their d'etre. Illinois had, or rather, until at most 175 days from now, has the United States' most draconian concealed carry law. Basically, no regular citizen can legally carry outside their home a firearm that is in any way accessible, even if the gun is unloaded. The court noted with incredulity that not even Massachusetts' gun laws were as harsh as Illinois'. But this state's concealed carry law, even if out of line with the rest of the country, is not new. So why the change now? Well, the past 4 years have seen two important Second Amendment cases decided by the Supreme Court, one of them from Illinois and the other from Washington, D.C. The D.C. case enshrined in American law, quote, the right of law-abiding, responsible citizens to use arms in defense of hearth and home, unquote. The Seventh Circuit has simply extended that personal right for Illinois citizens to pretty much everywhere else. It is a strange opinion, citing recent case law and social science, along with some fun, though rather well-worn, precedent. Judge Richard Posner wrote, quote, one doesn't have to be a historian to realize that a right to keep and bear arms for personal self-defense in the 18th century could not rationally have been limited to the home, unquote. For evidence of this, we are treated to some of the writings of William Blackstone, an Oxford professor whose commentaries on the laws of England were first published in 1765. Blackstone's name is invoked 15 times in this opinion. But our jurisprudential time travel doesn't end there at the founding era of the United States. Nope, we are treated to the 17th century reasoning of Edward Coke, and later, or earlier, I guess, we make it all the way back to the 14th century. The state's side against concealed carry is apparently bolstered by 1328's Statute of Northampton. It said that not unless he was on the king's business could a man, quote, ride armed by night nor by day, in fairs, markets, nor in the presence of the justices or other ministers, nor in no part elsewhere, unquote. Nor in no part elsewhere. Now that is how you end a sentence. Of course, history only takes you so far. What have guns done for us lately? Judge Posner, with reasoning that could have been ripped from those highway signs, replies, quote, a Chicagoan is a good deal more likely to be attacked on the sidewalk in a rough neighborhood than in his apartment on the 35th floor of Park Tower. A woman who is being stalked or has obtained a protective order against a violent ex-husband is more vulnerable to being attacked while walking to or from her home than when inside, unquote. So, in short, if the Constitution guarantees a person's right to be protected in the home, it should naturally extend that right outside. Even Massachusetts, I can imagine Judge Posner saying to himself, knows that. In any event, I bid a fond adieu to the highway signs and wait with bated breath now that this Second Amendment battle is won. What will replace them? I don't suppose these guys take requests, but I'm hoping for something on the Ninth Amendment. I'd really like to see what they rhyme with enumeration. I'm Travis McDade.